Let's turn in God's Word to Matthew in chapter 27 as we continue through Matthew's Gospel. And you remember last Lord's Day we began hearing of the beginning of the sufferings of Jesus Christ as He was betrayed and captured, and everything dealing with the chief priests of the Jews, and also Peter's denying Him three times. Now in Matthew 27, we'll begin in verse 1. We'll read the whole chapter. These are the words of our God. When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put Him to death. When they had bound Him and led Him away and delivered Him to Pontius Pilate, the governor, and then Judas, His betrayer, seeing that He had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? You see to it." Then He threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged Himself. But the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, because they are the price of blood." And they consulted together and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was priced, whom they of the children of Israel priced, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me." Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked Him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." And while He was being accused by the chief priests and elders, He answered nothing. Then Pilate said to Him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But He answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ?" For he knew that they had handed Him over because of envy. While He was sitting on the judgment seat, His wife sent to Him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Let Him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why? What evil has He done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let Him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and our children." And he released Barabbas to them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered Him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around Him. And they stripped Him and put a scarlet robe on Him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on His head and a reed in His right hand. And they bowed the knee before Him and mocked Him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Then they spat on Him and took the reed and struck Him on the head. And when they had mocked Him, they took the robe off Him, put His own clothes on Him, and led Him away to be crucified. Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. When they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of a skull, They gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him." He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, "I am the Son of God." Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of those who stood there when they heard that said, "This man is calling for Elijah." Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth quaked and the rocks were split and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, were there looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' So the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard, go your way. Make it as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. And those are God's words. At the beginning of the chapter, Christ is alone. The disciples, even Peter, have deserted him. And his suffering continues from the last chapter before the chief priests, many other Jews who had found him guilty of what they termed blasphemy, though he had committed no wrong, just as Pilate confessed and Pilate's wife had confessed. Now the Jews deliver him to Pontius Pilate, and through verse 10 we see then immediately Judas despairing, and he kills himself. What we see with Judas is what? He knew the truth. He knew who Christ was. He knew he had sinned. But he's different than Peter, who had just denied Jesus Christ three times. Judas did not rest his life in Christ. And so you're called this evening, come and rest in Jesus. Come and rest in Christ. We see then after that, the trial of Christ before Pilate, in which not really a trial, just going before the governor, being delivered as a common criminal. And which Pilate asked for one to be released, as they did right before the Passover, as it says, and they chose to release the criminal who is often a criminal, Barabbas, instead of the innocent and just man, Jesus. Jesus is set to be put to death. He suffers more. He's scourged. He's led to Calvary where he's crucified in fulfillment of many prophecies and promises in which the wrath of God is poured out upon Jesus, eternal Son, but also the only begotten Son in his human nature, and for us sinners who come and rest in his life. Upon the death of Christ for his beloved, many amazing things happen, including the end of the temple, the end of the sacrifice, the tearing of the curtain in two from top to bottom. Because Jesus was the fulfillment of those things. Jesus then was buried. Many of those ladies who would see the empty tomb on the third day, a couple of them right there saw him buried in the tomb. And the stone rolled against the tomb. And the chapter ends with the sealing of the tomb and a guard set. And no one could steal the body that lay there dead inside the tomb. That's how the chapter ends. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for such great care in sealing up the tomb of Jesus Christ by these wicked men, that no one could come and steal his body away, to make it look like he rose from the dead. We're thankful for all of his sufferings and his death there on the cross as the only just one, the only righteous one, perfectly. Who is tempted in every way that we are, and yet without sin. He died there on the cross. The blood and the water flowing from his side, as we learned from the other Gospels. And all to cleanse us, your people, of our sins. And Father, we have sinned in many and great ways. We are really no different than the Jews, the chief priests, the elders of that time. No different than Judas. No different than Pontius Pilate. Because we would have done the same thing. And that's what our sins did. We in our sins put Christ on the cross. We crucified him. And Father, we plead for your forgiveness in Christ. We plead that you would pardon us of all of our sin. We come confessing our sin. We have not loved you. We have not loved our neighbor. We have turned to the ways of the world and the things of the world. And rather wanted our own jealous desires, our covetousness, all that we covet and want in this life. We're thankful that Jesus died for those sins. Even the sins we've made this past week and this very day, and we're thankful that Jesus is our advocate, the righteous one who pleads for us, living to make intercession for us even now. And we're thankful that as he died, truly died in his body, undergoing your full wrath upon him for our sins and for the sins of all your people who come and will come and who have come to Christ for their life. We're thankful for the amazing resurrection that no man could undo and get past the guards and undo that sealing of the rock. That Mary and those ladies that we'll hear about tomorrow or next Lord's Day in chapter 28, those ladies saw the empty tomb just as they saw the tomb sealed. And they spoke with him. Many other witnesses spoke with him afterwards. And even here, the many who rose from the dead when Jesus died, they testified as well. And how can we ignore these things? For even people outside of the Bible and history, even Jews, Josephus and many of the other historians have an account of these things. If they cannot deny it, then how could we? How could we deny it in our own lives today as we continue in sin? Why do we continue in sin? So, Father, help us and turn us from our sin. Put to death the sin that remains within us. And grow us in faith in Christ your Son. If there are any here who don't know you, that you would turn them to yourself. That they would see the truth, but rest upon Christ alone. Unlike Judas. More like Peter. Who yet when he denied you, still believed. And you upheld him, not because he deserved it. He deserved the pains of hell forever and all of your wrath poured out upon him. And yet you placed that wrath upon Christ that he would live. We pray the same for each one here. That that would be true. You would send your Spirit and do your great work. And show that to them. Father, we're thankful that you've brought us together this evening to worship your name. We pray that your name would be exalted as high as the heavens are above the earth. As we sang already, that our soul would pant for you. Just as we're on a hot and dry day in which our throat is parched, and how we long for water, so we pray that we would long for you and everything. Father, we pray that you would humble us. You would cause us to live for you and sacrifice our lives for you, to give up everything for you, and serve you in every breath that we take. We pray that you would bless our congregation, not because we deserve it, but for your glory and the spread of the gospel to all nations, especially this nation. And so, Father, as we give to you today and give of those first fruits that you've blessed us with, we ask that you would use all that for the growth of your kingdom to all nations. And bring many in, Father. May you be with our children, they would know you and not know one more day apart from you if they don't know you. That they would rest in you, they would love you in everything. And help us to love you in everything, for we often love you in many things. But those hard things that you bring, those hard providences, it is often hard to love you. Help us to love you in those times too, and in those circumstances. And in everything, Father, we pray that you would help us by your Spirit. But above all, that your name would be given all glory and praise. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.